der Simple Focus mit Elvis Cerny und Dominik Gilder. For live and joy and deep.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cerny and Dominik Godad.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. We are in Upper Austria right now with Kati Hankowski on Zoom today after a wonderful week in Budapest. Hello, Kati.
Hi.
We spent a wonderful time at the SoulWork conference that you co-organized, and we would love to talk with you about community building and also SoulWorld conference that just happened. We've known each other for such a long time. I think we met for the first time in 2003 when I did the coaching training with Peter Szabo. And you've been in this solution-focused field for such a long time and working with Peter Szabo, with Donnie Meyer, part of the Solution Surfers. You are self-employed as a solution-focused practitioner. You're doing so many things that we're in awe to see, and we're so glad that we can have you here on Zoom today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And one of the things that particularly amazes Dominik and myself again and again is your way of connecting with people and your way of connecting people, of bringing people together and doing something meaningful, something joyful, something brilliant in a solution-focused way together. And we are very happy to have you here today, Kati. Thank you so much for making the time for this conversation.
Before we come to these topics, what fascinates you about solution focus?
Such a big question. Let's make it smaller. Let's say today, just now, because it's a long story of fascination. I was counting it something back 96, as I had first solution-focused conversations and read first solution-focused books. So it's a long story also of getting all the work I do and all the conversations I have into this manner. I think by today I can say I take a piece of work to do only if I see a chance to do it in my way, and my way is the actual understanding of myself on solution focus. So it's a huge question you ask, and I really admire your way of asking again and again this question, and it's an honor to answer it. And maybe today what fascinates me most is the lightness, the ease which occurs when we work that way. You mentioned already the SoulWorld conference in Budapest, and yes, you can say we had some troubles during the organizing phase, and to stay focused on what we want and also how do we want to make the whole process helped us a lot to stay confident, to stay curious what happens next, to trust each other and also all the players around us, that somehow the best thing will occur and we will recognize that. And I would say it only happened because the whole team is a bunch of solution-focused practitioners, and okay, we liked each other as well. I think that's an important thing too. But I would say what fascinates me today is solution-focused gives an easy-to-use language for love, an easy-to-use language to meet people you care and do big things with them together.
Wow. And you just mentioned, I would love to go back a little step from today to the beginning and your journey from the beginning. And you just mentioned you started in 96, and then it was this thing of doing things your way and having all conversations in this solution-focused manner. How did you do that?
I remember a phase of my company where I said, if people asked, what are you doing? Then I said, I do three things. I do game animations, which is like working with groups, mostly adults, through just playing games one after the other together. Then the second is methodology for learning processes. And the third is solution-focused conversations and team coaching and so. And I remember several years I said, and I think there will be a time when all these three things are just one. I had no clue how that could happen. And by today, I can say I do one thing, and this is solution-focused practice. I think I'm good at using this language, this way of connecting. I can use it by now in very different contexts, and I got picky about what I do, and I only do things if I'm feeling like fitting to my big respect to my clients,
not putting things on them just because I like these things, but making it with them because it fits with what they want. Mm.
You said also playful, and at this Soul World Conference this year in Budapest, were a lot of lightness there, a lot of playful ways how to use solution focus in different ways. It was also an agile track. And I remember the Soul World Conference in Interlaken in 2005. And when we look back at, and you were involved there, how you as an organizing team organized that, you could say it was perfectly agile, playful, solution focus. And for me, really a start into a very playful way of having Soul World conferences.
Thank you. You take it as a compliment, you know?
It's a huge compliment, yeah. A lot of people that attend Soul World conferences will tell you that. What was it back then that you did and that really made this conference happen back then?
Wow, three stories come to my mind. And one is maybe a surprising one. We had a really, really good finance guy, Urs Limacher. And not just that he made a budget in a way that I copy till today, and it gives me a very solid sense of safety while organizing. But playfulness and lightness, he said, you know, guys, that's so bad. Everyone, if we are talking about money, makes these very worried faces and boring looks. So I want you every time when we talk about budget or money to applaud. So during the whole organizing, there was this really happy applause anytime when we were talking about money. And you know, that's a little thing, but something where someone said what he wants to see, to be able to play his role in a good way in it. And you can go with it. And yes, I think it influences me till today.
So let's talk money.
Let's cheer about money.
Yeah. I mean, what the difference? And yes, it's an important part in all these things we do, that it has to be safe and sustainable. Mm. Yeah. And someone has to do that part. I just love that one.
And I wonder what question someone asked before Urs Limacher came up with this answer.
I'm not sure. Maybe he was just assertive enough to say that. That part I don't remember. Another little thing I really loved about that conference is dealing with some problems people in conferences always have. And that is choosing. We had, I think, 5 or 6 tracks parallel, you know, to choose from. Kirsten Dierolf suggested, and we used the theme life and in color. And we delivered a color dice. And the invitation was, if you have no clue where to go, you just throw the dice and then you go in that room. And, you know, that's a little thing again, but it reminded us not to take ourselves too seriously and also to invite people to play around with possibilities and to be sure, hey, come on, you can't go at 6 places. Mm. So the best you do is you go somewhere and be there very clearly. Nice. It's 3 stories. May I give a third one?
Yes, please. Mm.
Insu was at the Interlaken conference and she somehow got interested in how we did it. And she made an interview with us about it. And I think this interest in how someone did something makes the story even better. So your curiosity right now asking also makes this conference a bigger and lighter and more loveful experience. So I think this is the observer's eye, and the observer's curiosity delivers also a big piece. So thank you.
Thank you. And coming to Budapest, you just mentioned before there you had some, I don't remember the word you put, but like kind of troubles in the preparation. I know you had to change the venue 2 yes. weeks before the conference. And I mean, changing the venue for conference, which is organized for more than 100 people, is not a little thing. So Dominik and I had the pleasure to just meeting you around that time and seeing how you still managed to be present where you were and to share this story in a joyful way, which I still hear like, you know, and now we have to do this. And you were always able to act in a joyful way and also knowing you're working with a great team together. So I would love to hear a little bit more about that. What did you do? How did you converse around this topic within the organizing team? And what helped you to be so confident and joyful and not letting the heaviness in?
Hmm. I think a Soul World conference is always an invitation invitation to the organizers to do it in the way they want to. And in the autumn time, an opportunity occurred. We really wanted to organize it close to the life of the organizations. And as we got this invitation to pick a large company and make the conference in their new conference center, I was like, wow, that's great. And having 15 of their people around and involving into the conference in exchange for the rooms was, yeah, really the thing I wanted to see. So this is how the conference switched from a conference hotel, beautiful one, historically important one, as you two know.
Dominic and I became a couple there.
Yes, at the first Solvit Central Eastern European Conference. That was our first choice for the place, and I was very lighthearted leaving that option and go for the in an organization option. So when later this option within a company started to break away, I was confused and saying, oh, so it won't be a conference like that. So how do I want this conference then? And I think this type of thinking, if the circumstances change and not follow your plan, then think about what is really important to me and how do I want that? That's a helpful thinking.
Just yesterday, I started to read Peter Szabo's retuning book. So how long did it take you to read?
In this case, it took me like 3 weeks because I wasn't clear about what am I facing. You know, the first news was from this company that their system changed. So we have to go through a process where they have to approve the event. And I said, okay, let's do that. Of course, it's trouble, but let's make it. So again and again, there were steps. I thought, okay, of course, we do it. Even as we, by the end, got a huge offer for how much it would cost for us to go there instead of having 15 people and no money movement, I still was retuning on that, you know? So the whole process took like 3 weeks, met hundreds retunings in it. So at the end, we announced the final thing 2 weeks before the conference, but we were already doing it since weeks.
Your story reminds me of our first Christmas in the United States when we were on the road and we didn't know where to celebrate Christmas. And Christmas is a kind of really important thing for me because I learned actually what's important around Christmas for me that time, even more than I ever did before, because we constantly asked ourselves this question, like, how do we want it? And I don't want to celebrate in New Orleans because this is not the environment I want to celebrate. Then we went through Mississippi. Okay, no way to celebrate in Mississippi. And then this constant retuning and at the same time really trusting. And I think not trust life, but trust our relationships and trust mm-hmm. our ability mm-hmm. to co-create something mm-hmm. great mm-hmm. together wherever we are mm-hmm. made such a difference. And the story comes up for me listening to your story.
Yes.
And also asking how will we notice that this will be best Christmas ever, a great Christmas, and then seeing so many things already happening, and especially on Christmas Day happening there. And we also noticed the great Solwork conference, great venue, really brought people together, a lot of interaction there. And I think it was so much possible thanks to this new venue there. And it's your, I don't know, fifth conference at least that you organize, and you have created network in Hungary, Solution Focused Network. You've translated in this network close to 10 books. You do so many things for community and so many things to connect people and to really bring people together and really focusing on solution focus. It's always been stunning for us to see that. So what are your best hopes from doing that?
I think I love to spend time in a certain way. I love to spend time in meaningful, fun, connected way with people who are moving for that moment into a kind of same direction. And all the things you mentioned, I think the possibilities to put pieces into place for this. Yeah. Maybe the book thing is slightly also different. I'm Hungarian, and Hungarian is a little language in the whole big world, having, I don't know the current numbers, but maybe 12 million speakers. And maybe Hungarian is the language where people did the most translations into their language. That's just like a habit to allowing my people to read those solution focused books in our own language. Yeah, I just do it all the time. And there were two moments in this history where I said, okay, also, that's it. We don't do a next one. And then recognizing, oh, that's so easy. Let's take this. This is such an important book and we really would need that and people would love it. So it's somehow passion. Could that be a good word for that? Yes.
I bet it is. And what I really appreciate about that is, and I'm pretty sure that this is one of the things you're also aware of, is making things visible. Mm. And through making things visible and making content available in native language for people, mm-hmm. it also helps to connect to the non-native people, to those mm-hmm. people who wrote the books, and it helps to understand things in a different way, of course, and mm-hmm. it helps to bring people together, I guess.
That's nice, yeah. And there is one thing in it on top. You know, we can assume that people talk English, but not everyone talks English or mm-hmm. can read something in English. And maybe I also have this little tune in myself that there are really excellent ways putting something into writing. And if it happened in English, then I really want everyone, so also the non-English speakers, have the access to that. On one hand, I wish it for everyone, but I still have this idea of quality. It's not all the same what you take as a source for thoughts. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And you're not only very active in the Hungarian community, but also the Swiss community. You're the chair of the Swiss Network for Solution-Focused Work. You have translated Brief Coaching Book of Brief London into German and are doing a lot of things in this Swiss network. And just as you said, not everything, very deliberately chosen things that you want to see more of. And well, very much goes into a very modern direction of solution focus. So what is it that you would like to see more of in the solution focus communities or in the communities you're in?
A little remark, I don't translate myself in any of the languages. I think it's an own profession. So I just let people who can do that translate. I think what I really want to see more of is keeping the discussion on. I think there were times when I really wished for solution focus, the right development, where I was longing for, we understand all the same. Let's say during the last year, maybe, and discussions with you played really a role in it. So if I'm trying to answer the question today, it's more something about keeping the conversations among practitioners about what we do, how we do it, and what are the good reasons to do that way. And I'm calm and peaceful with very different ways. I have my own choices, maybe, but what I really want to invest in is making thoughts of each other available for each other and allowing exchange about our ways of working.
Wow. What else, Kati?
I'm also very passionate about doing it in a solution-focused way. So you mentioned with me being the chair of the Swiss Association, they made me the chair because we were thinking about dealing with the board tasks in a joint co-creating way instead of having a chair. We said, okay, let's do that, try it out year long, and we can talk about it later when we are succeeding. Okay, but then we need someone who takes the chair, so we don't have to explain what we are doing. And then I said, okay, for that case, I can take the chair. So I'm the chair to make it a bunch of chairing people. So we just had the first meeting of this new board this week. And just to make you an example, what I mean with I'm passionate about doing the thing in a solution-focused way, we were starting out a bit tentatively, and then I said, oh, could you wait for a moment? There were papers lying on the table. Can you just turn it on? And on the back side, can you write please three signs what you could during this meeting observe if it happens? And that shows you that this is exactly the board you wanted to be part of. And then everyone was writing through things. And then I said, okay, turn it on again and let's continue. So we didn't share them. We just checked back. There was one a break and I observed everyone checking the signs. And then afterwards, there was a little talk about it. And this is already the way I love to work, inventing ways of our work, how it can be more focused on what we want, staying light-hearted and spontaneous somehow, building on the resources and appreciation of each other.
What a beautiful example, Kati. Thank you. This is one of the things I'm also curious about, because you are working also a lot in organizations. So from all your work of connecting people, and I think a very important part of bringing solution focus into organizations is connecting people in a different way, and from there also help them to have more meaningful conversations, more conversations about what they want, what is working, and invite them to co-create the workplace they want to have together. So from all the things you're doing in bringing people together at conferences, and the way you organize conferences, and the things you do at the board of the network in Switzerland, what have you learned for your work in organizations?
Maybe not taking the engagement of others for granted. And that's a surprising thought in organizations. We like to suppose they have to. And quite often the invitation for an assignment is to make happen what they have to. And it's funny, I didn't think about it like that. Without your question, I'm discovering that I'm very much skeptical in my role. So I take this being skeptical, this skepsis, I take with me and work with it, with every idea they develop. And I check together with them, is it meaningful enough? Does it bring enough for you so that it's sustainable to go for it? And how would you know that you are moving into this direction, even if outside of this meeting room, the life comes again and many things will go in a different way than you hoped for. You know, checking the sustainability of the engagement they feel in that moment, I think that has a direct connection with my work in the voluntary field.
Wow, thank you.
Skeptical about sustainability. Wow.
of the engagement. So prove, how much does it cost and what attracts you that much that you can't do differently than go for it? And today I'm talking about being skeptical. Usually I don't use that word, but in this context, I recognize I am the advocate of the doable version.
And I think by being skeptical, you keep the discussion going, as you mentioned before, and invite people to stay curious about what they are doing.
Yes, and why they are doing it, and how come they managed to do so. And how would they recognize being focused on many other things as well, that they're still making that thing also happen? May I give an example for that?
Yeah.
Just because of the conference theme was Signs of Progress. And I love this thing. There was one company within the business unit I worked with, the two highest levels of hierarchy. One thing they had to do was a huge change how they were working together. And then they had many ideas how to do it. They were very enthusiastic, surprisingly, at the end. And then I asked them, okay, and now you go back to your everyday life and maybe other things come across to you. And how will you know that you are still proceeding in this process? And the second highest guy just took a paper and made notes on what everyone said. And then like 1.5 months later, they had a meeting on the progress and we made a Mentimeter. So an online collaborative questionnaire on the signs. And the question was, could you observe it and how much of that sign? And they were so amazed. So they could see and tuck like that, that there was real observed progress. And it's just because we made those things observable and smallish, you know, smallish signs that they are still moving on.
During the conference, Kati, you received a beautiful black t-shirt with a white sentence on there, which was, how did you do that? You received it from your team, so from the organizing team, from your colleagues, and I would love to hear a little bit how come they gave you this t-shirt.
Well, I must say I was totally overwhelmed and surprised that they did it. I wasn't aware that they are doing something just for me. And it was even worse, dear Elfie. The question is, how did I do that? Sorry, that just doesn't fit to my experience of this conference. I think we were lucky enough that we had a bunch of people coming into the team at the right moment. So we had also calls with just three people on it doing the organizing thing. And I always had this idea of at the right moment, others will still join in. And we had some people already in the field. And somehow it was possible to have the right resource in the right moment. Just one example, Lotzi, who didn't even attend the conference, popped up in one of the calls and said, oh, and I would be so happy to do something. And then he became a host for one participant. And he was the one under really hopeless circumstances who went and checked out a possible venue, which became not a possible venue at the end, but during one weekend, it was our best version. He was the guy who went there. So somehow this being around other people and trying to face the work in a way that others can have an access to. That's what I did. And I just had wonderful people. Irma, for instance, Irma Horvath, has a huge wide of resources in her and around her. And she was the one who went and could find the right thing then. Or Esther Chasa. She took the role of being the face people see the first time. And she did it in a beautifully genius way. And she continued doing it also during this clarifying and being confused and where shall I stay? Shall I change my hotel or not question? And she was just brilliant. And others as well. Moni, for instance, Moni Günther is my partner also within the company. So she wasn't organizing. But as things came fast-paced, because we had to organize the taxis and the transportation, she said, okay, guys, I organized that part. So somehow, I don't know what it is, but not thinking I do it, being aware of us doing it.
So how did you all do it?
I can say one thing on the effect. We found on the second day the metaphor of nothing falls from the plate. And if something is about falling from the plate, there is someone else and keeping another plate under it. So that was the effect we observed. And I think we just loved it and each other. Yeah. And these people who were coming and we wanted to make the best time in their life ever.
Thank you, Kati. And you're also very good in inviting people to ask, how do you do that? I mean, for the SF World Day, you put together a Facebook frame with the question, how did you do that? Or how do you do that? So I think this is a brilliant thing to ask again and again other people. So now you have even the t-shirt with it.
Inviting people to become observers. I would like to become a little bit more of an observer of your insights from your long solution focused journey. So looking back to 1996, looking back to the way you went, path you chose, the things you organized, the communities you were in and built and contributed. If there's one thing, one learning, one insight, you say, this could also make a valuable difference for someone else. What could that be?
Maybe something very basic. Going with the whole energy for what I wish for and enjoying and loving and embracing what I get.
Wow.
If you asked for just one thing, sorry, that was your question.
And today, of course.
And only today, only here and now. Yes.
So thank you very much, Kati. And let's come to the challenge of the week.
Yes. Something about who do you do things with? During this week, if you have a task and you can choose, think who you really, really, really desperately want to do this task together with and just tell these people independently if they wanted to or if they can and something like that. This is one point. And Hungarians always make a little door next to the big door, you know? And the little door next to the big door. If you can't do that thing with this person because you have to do it with your teammates, for instance, or with your boss, or I don't know, you can't say it in an imperative form, love them. But something like, I don't know, if it's possible, just be grateful for exactly the people who do it with.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to this task.
And I'm curious if I'm the big door or the small door. So thank you very much for this great conversation about community building, about organizing, about organizations, about becoming observers in so many, many, many different things, much more than we hoped for when we started.
And we are very curious to hear from all of you what inspired you with our conversation with Kati. So please let us know and comment on www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and let us know, because what inspires you might also inspire someone else to keep going their solution-focused journey.
And as usual, you'll find all the resources that we mentioned in the resource section of this podcast. It's podcast episode number 62.
So once again, a big thank you, Kati, for being here with us, for sharing your stories, your wisdom, your solution-focused journey with us and with so many other people. Thank you very much, and we are looking forward to hopefully seeing you soon in person again.
Thank you for making this story together with me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Wow, what a great episode again. Do you also like the Simply Focus podcast? Then help Elfie and Dominic spread the word. Give the Simply Focus podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes, Google Play, and other platforms. Plus, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This was Simply Focus podcast with Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godet, your podcast for a life in joy and ease.